Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Week 14 in the NFL wrapped up last night in Los Angeles. The Chargers beat the Eagles 22-19 in overtime. Jalen Hurts threw 4 picks in the loss. LA improves to 9-4 with the win. In other news, the Indianapolis Colts worked out 43-year-old quarterback Philip Rivers this morning. Indianapolis lost Daniel Jones for the season. Backup Riley Leonard's dealing with a knee injury. Colts are 8-5 and will play in Seattle against the Seahawks Sunday at 4:25. In college football, Ohio State's Julian Sain was named one of 4 Heisman finalists, along with Indiana's Fernando Mendoza, Vandy's Diego Pavia, and Notre Dame's Jeremiah Love. Heisman's going to be given out next Saturday night. In college hoops, Ohio State's back at the Shot on Tuesday. Buckus host number 14 Illinois at 7:30. Here on the Fan with coverage at 6:30. And despite what I said on T-Bone and Tyvis, the Blue Jackets are at the Hurricanes tonight at 7:30. This update's sponsored by Germain Toyota, the best selection of new and used cars in Central Ohio. View the full selection of vehicles online at germaintoyota.net.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then it's a rundown. And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Let's do a live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3. Loaded up. 10 o'clock, we hit you with the real truth. 10:30, Uncle Dommy is going to drop by, as is customary. 11 o'clock, we will blitz the NFL. And at 11:30, a little bit of Shelly time as the Jackets are back in action. I did want to start with a quote from the immortal Kenny Powers. Season 1, Eastbound and Down. Oh, what do I know? I know that one of us had their own personal stylist, and one of us shoplifts their stuff from Fashion Bug. That's what I know. So where does this come from? It's all going to make sense. So if you are a parent and you have a boy, I would say age 10 through, I feel like the sweet spot's 15. They're in this space with their hair that I would describe as unsightly, insane. If you don't have a child in this age group, what they are going for, the best I can tell, is some combination and some sort of a thread the needle between an Albert Einstein finger in a light socket, but push it all forward big into my face as much as I can. That's where they're at. It's a debacle. It's an unmitigated disaster. There's not a parent out there that has a boy that age that is not aware of where they are with this. It is a disaster every day. And sometimes, a lot of the kids in NBC's grade, they will bleach their hair. That's a great idea, is to bleach it. And so what they have is kind of this growing out chunks of white and then dark underneath and then just this hair going in a million directions. So I've been fighting this fight for about a year with NBC, and I finally got him on kind of a longer flowing kind of hopeful look, and Beamsy's now right in the middle of it. So everything, it's down, and I guess it's what the kids are doing. And I have to acknowledge that I definitely had a mullet in middle school. Full stop. Had one. Had it. It was in. I want to say my freshman year of high school, an older kid decided to cut his hair short, and it was like, oh, maybe we can do that. That seemed to look all right. Let's do it that. And then it flipped and that was it. But from probably, I would say like fifth grade through seventh, I had some variation of a mullet. And I do remember at one point I took a specific amount of hair like in the middle. So I had a mullet everywhere else and then just a chunk of hair straight down. Just ran, who knows? Just kids do stupid stuff. I'm not immune to it. So it's been bugging me for a while. And they've had basketball games and they're constantly touching it. And not just mine, they're all doing it. They're all touching it and their hair and they're trying to get it up. And to, they do this thing where they push it back and then they pull it down and just try to kind of prop it up. They kind of want like a ski jump thing. I don't know. So it came to a head this morning. And I'm watching NBC. So Beamsy is the quiet one. Like when I try to like make any sort of comments about his stuff, he just goes silent and shuts it down. And so there's no give and take. NBC wants to spar. Like let's go. Let's have it. Let's have at it this morning, Dad. So I go, dude, I don't know what you're going for, but this ain't it. That what you're doing ain't it. This ain't it. I don't know what you're trying to get accomplished with it, but the way you're doing it with the product and the blow dry and just product on top of product, like it's, this ain't it. You're not going to get what you want out of this. And he goes, oh yeah, what do you know? And I snapped and I said, well, I was on television for 15 years. And I don't know if you've heard of places called Charles Penzone and Kennis, but I used to go there and I didn't even have to pay for the haircuts. That's what I know. And he goes, I don't even know where those places are. And I said, well, you should. You should. So I snapped. That was my snap today, was the Kenny Powers. And as I dropped him off from school today, I just couldn't stop laughing at the fact that I had basically done the Kenny Powers line to Tracy when she is not dressed the way that he wants her in evening wear at Cutler's Barbecue. And she comes down not in evening wear. And then the immortal line, oh, what do I know? I know that one of us had their own personal stylist and one of us shoplifts their stuff from Fashion Bug. That's what I know. So that was my morning. That was my morning. Did your parents ever intercede? Because then I started to think, I was talking to my wife and I'm like, I don't remember like my dad, who I know there's no way he liked anything that I did at that time. I don't remember him ever saying anything. And she goes, yeah, I don't remember my parents doing that either. I think we just kind of got to lay back on this. And so I guess that's what I'm going to do from here on out. Like today was the mass escalation of it. But I think I'm going to lay back. Did you guys ever have a haircut or a style that you wore that your parents were like, dude, what are we doing here?
I don't think they ever expressed it. I kind of wish they had, because I buzzed my hair in high school and most of college. Like it was my mid-20s before I ever did anything with it. And so that's a
you just went like a one all over?
Mm-hmm. Because it was easy. You didn't have to do anything with it.
Yeah, that's true.
You had
no maintenance.
Hair and soap, or water and soap. And your hair was usually clean. The Charles Penzone popped me a little bit because, yeah, how would a 15-year-old know what the hell Charles Penzone is? Although now you should take him and just be like, this is how it's done, son.
It was so great. I mean, I didn't pay for a haircut from the time I was on television at age 20. I didn't pay for my haircut from age 20 till I was off Channel 10.
Was that a work perk?
2015. Yeah. Yeah. So from, I don't know, 98 to 2015, I didn't pay for a haircut.
Bo, I think there's an easy solution to your problem here.
Yeah, yeah.
You just introduce them to your co-host, Eric Reeser, and his barber. Because Reese's hair is always looking fly.
I'm telling you.
So I think there's an easy solution here.
They are rebelling against anything like that.
Yeah, you can't introduce it to them.
Like, they're going to have to get there on their own. I'm trying to make the best of a bad spot. That's where I'm at right now. And trust me, I will say for both NBC and Beamsy, there are kids way worse. Like you have to see this in the high school football when you're doing it. You have to just look on the sidelines and you're seeing this, what these kids are doing.
I think in the high school, it's not as bad. I think they're over that in the high school. I think it's still in the middle schools a little bit, at least down here. All have longer hair, but I feel like down here at least that everything pushed forward all in their eyes.
Starting to fade.
Yeah, I think in the high schools down here that's faded a little bit.
There's got to be a point of delineation where they just stop caring.
I would tell you that what you just said is basically their ethos right now.
Okay.
So their entire operation, from what I can tell, and this is middle school all the way through high school, because we go to the high school games and stuff and I see how the kids dress. From what I can tell, the standard operating procedure on a go-to-school outfit or a go-to-any-sort-of-activity outfit is the baggiest sweats that you can wear, some form of Birkenstock or UGG.
And socks?
All of them have Birkenstocks. They either wear the clogs, or then they have like the low UGG things for the snow. Biggest, baggiest sweats that you can wear, and then like a hoodie. And then they're allergic to coats. They don't want to wear coats, ever. Like, you try to get a kid to wear a coat now, forget it. 20 degrees? Nope. Hoodie, that's all I need. And then their retort when you say it's cold is, well, I'm only going from one warm place to the next. I'm only outside for 2 minutes. I'm just getting in and out of a car. What's the problem? And then I go, okay, fine. But yeah, they're where you're at. They are, when you say past stop caring, we've blown past that. That's 3 years ago. Now, I did hear that there was something going on social where they were talking about trying to, like, somebody on one of these TikTokers or something was talking about quarter zips as now they'll go the other way. So maybe my hunch is, like, in 3 months, they're going to be wearing like quarter zips to school because some TikToker said so. That's my hunch on how this all tracks out.
It's all cyclical, right? Like, what was new? What is old is new again. And then it'll just go, like, quarter zips are in for a year and then they're out.
The great Tom Sprouse, of course, who handles just the expert level at the Memorial Tournament and just one of the best men about town you're ever going to find. He just texted me. He goes, nope, still a thing. Dropped off my youngest at Miami this year, and it's a picture of his son, and he's got it. He's got the massive hair. I hope it flips at some point, Tommy. I hope. At some point. I hope it changes. Look, I think we all... Tyvus, I feel attacked right now. I'm wearing baggy sweats and I never... See? He's a 31-year-old middle schooler. Don't feel attacked. You're just like them. It's no different. And he's playing video games just like them. There's no difference.
And he's got big hair now.
He does. He's got great hair now.
Good hair now.
Boy, why they got to get... LeBron should have went to his guy. Or gal. They did it right. LeBron never could get it to take.
Does seem like LeBron's embracing it now.
Well,
finally.
He tried everything.
Finally.
Tried it all. All right, lots of fun on the program today. We've got a Heisman finalist, and that is never something to be taken lightly. We got the Buckeyes and the Jackets in action tonight. We had a Monday night football game that was competitive. I do not think it was classic, but also a little bit of a big theme that is happening in the National Football League that is something that probably needs to be addressed. We'll get into all of that coming up next. We're off and running on a Tuesday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tyvus.
Cooper Flagg. He played in Maine.
He from Maine?
Yes, he is from Maine. They said the whole state.
I've never even heard of somebody being from Maine.
T-Bone and Tyvus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies are expected here for today, but it will be a warmer day with highs into the upper 30s this afternoon. Also fairly breezy, southerly winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then as we head into tomorrow, we're tracking even windier conditions as we see our next weather system building through. That's going to bring us some rain and snow showers and highs into the 40s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
And playoff time means brackets. Mountain Dew and the Fan are giving you a shot at $500 in our annual college football playoff bracket contest. Just fill out your 12-team bracket before the first game kicks off on December 19th. Enter now at 971thefan.com. I'll tell you, you get Notre Dame involved in something, and obviously they had a heck of a day yesterday, and then all of a sudden all of the folks want to comment on college football. And one of the things that drove me nuts yesterday, and it, not quite as much as my kid's hair, but damn near, was how folks commenting about college football that had no idea the process. The amount of national people I heard yesterday talk about, why is Tulane in this? Why is James Madison in this? Those are not the two of the 12 best teams in the country. And it's like, man, can we just go back down to breaking down Shedeur Sanders on the All-22? Can we just go back to that? This isn't your playground. Like, you don't understand what's going on here. And that was kind of a constant drone yesterday, was the lack of understanding about how this thing is actually put together. We had Monday Night Football last night. The Chargers outlast the Eagles 22-19. It goes to overtime. I'll tell you, Jalen Hurts was really, really bad in this game. He was really bad, really struggled through four interceptions. The Eagles aren't a good football team right now, but they're not alone. We are in the middle of, and we'll blitz the NFL coming up at 11, get into some Bengals and Browns as the show goes along as well. We are in the middle of, and this, I finally kind of got it sorted out with my picks a little bit last couple of weeks, but we are in the middle of a seismic change in who is good in the National Football League. We have been used to the last four or five, maybe seven, 8 years of seeing these teams behave a certain way this time of year. So I'm talking about the Chiefs, who are out. They're not making the postseason, guys. They're done. It's cooked. For whatever reason, Patrick Mahomes cannot throw the ball down the field anymore, not the way that he used to. And some of it's weapons, maybe it's scheme, but he's not who he was. Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, they might be cooked too. The only thing that might save him is just how bad that division is. That might save him. But he's not right. And at the end of the season, it's going to be one of two things. Either there are a bunch of injuries that Lamar Jackson has that were not disclosed, which is what I kind of think is what's going on, or he is in the middle of, and maybe Mahomes is there too, of sometimes these guys just fall off a cliff. Like sometimes it just happens. I mean, there's a great many examples of this throughout the history of the league of guys who were great and then all of a sudden just not. I tend to think with Lamar that it's more the former, that they're actually hiding some injuries with him than the latter, that all of a sudden he's just not effective anymore. Mahomes, I think, is a really interesting case because it's kind of been trending this way for the last couple of years. Even last year as they got to the Super Bowl, he was clutch, but it was not the high flying Kansas City team that we saw when they first burst on the scene. Even Buffalo with Josh Allen, they are not what they were a couple of years ago. You think about Burrow. And Cincinnati, Joe Burrow is going to miss the playoffs for the second straight year in Cincinnati. They haven't sniffed it since getting to the Super Bowl a few years ago. Now, some of that's injury, but that's part of the sport, certainly. And if you were to say best quarterbacks in the league, you would have said over the last 4 or 5 years, it was always Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, and Burrow. And then the Eagles. They're not right, guys. They're not. There's a lot going on here. Now, they're still likely going to win that division because it's not very good, and they're still going to get in, but there's nothing scary about them. And so we have to get to a point with the National Football League where we acknowledge things have changed, and some new teams are jumping in. A team like the Rams have jumped, they won it, jumped out, now they've jumped back in. But in the AFC, this is a massive change to the way we view that conference.
I don't think any team's great week to week. I certainly think some teams have weeks they're really good, but I think there's so much parity. And I think that with the names like Drake May, Bo Nix are your top two quarterbacks, or at least the quarterbacking the top two teams in the AFC. You know, Jordan Love and Matt Stafford are quarterbacking the two top teams in the NFC. But everybody else has kind of done this by piecemeal all season. Like, you look at the Buccaneers and the 49ers. I mean, Tampa's playing Baker Mayfield, but aren't we looking at Baker and going like, dude, do you just want to hang it up for a season and just get right? Same with Lamar. Mahomes, I don't know if it's injuries. I think to your point, it's a little regression. I mean, he's throwing at people's feet. He's throwing at people's shoulders. It's like, that's not where you got to put the football, man. So I don't know if teams are trying to figure out like identity crises at week 14, but it's not a good time to be doing that.
I think also you see that teams get old quick.
Yeah.
I mean,
quicker than ever before, I think.
We're talking about Mahomes and the Chiefs, and I mean, they've been doing this since 2018. And yes. So you do that, and then you pay these guys to keep guys together, and your roster gets older, and you just don't have any new guys coming in. I think it's one of the things that made the Patriots and their run so ridiculous was they would cut bait with guys.
They would, yeah.
They would keep Brady, and they would, you know, have pieces around him that they would move around, but they would cut bait. They made sure they were good at the line, on the line of scrimmage and the pass rush and things like that, but Brady never really had a real great receiver that was there for a long time. Like, Randy Moss was there. I mean, Julian Edelman was great, but he was like an undersized slot guy that
was an overachiever.
And
it was Welker early,
and then Amendola.
Went into Edelman, and then Moss was in there, and then Gronk was in there. Like, he had a decent stretch of either Moss or Gronk. Mm-hmm. And then before Aaron Hernandez murdered people, like, Aaron Hernandez was a big time weapon. But yeah, to your point, like, they had a system, they acclimated. When guys got old, they got rid of them and they moved on pretty quickly. And here's the other thing about Brady, and this is pretty remarkable. And obviously, some of this stuff his career is never going to be touched. I say that pretty emphatically. But the interesting thing about Brady is, I was thinking about this. I'm not sure he ever played a meaningless game.
No.
Like, they never missed the postseason when he was the quarterback. So
even with the Buccaneers.
No, I don't think he ever played a meaningless game. He always got to the postseason. The only time they didn't make it in New England is when he got hurt early in the season. And Matt Castle, I still think they won 10 games that year or something like that.
I think they won 11.
Okay, maybe they went 11-5 with Castle. But no, they never fell off a cliff. Like, he never played a meaningless December game. Like, how many meaningless December games has Joe Burrow had to play? Now Mahomes is going to have to do that.
And counting.
Yeah, whole month is going to be meaningless. Mahomes has never had to do it either until now. He's not officially there yet, but he's close.
And that's what makes this so weird with them, is we're not used to this with him.
No.
They've always been in the mix.
No, he hasn't had, he had a stretch from 18 to 22 that is as good as it's as good as the quarterback position has ever been played in the history of the league, and wins too, all of it. And they've accomplished all of these things. He hasn't had a quarterback rating over 100 since 2022, though. Mahomes hasn't. 22, he 67%, 52, 50 yards, 8.1 an attempt, 41 touchdowns, 12 picks. The next year it goes down to 41, 83, 27 and 14, then 39, 28, 26 and 11, 33, 98 so far this year. Just 22 touchdowns, 10 picks. He's only completing 63% of his passes. I mean, it's there. And Lamar's in the same spot, but these guys are getting up. Here's the crazy thing. Mahomes is only 30. Like, Brady played till his mid-40s. Is there going to be a shift into a different way of doing it? Or is their roster, I just am fascinated to know what's happened to them, because they've been omnipresent in our life, the Chiefs have, for the last decade, always in the mix, and they're not. They're going to play December games that don't matter. And right, what are they now, the 10 seed? If it started right now in the AFC, I think they're the 10. There's almost no path for them. They've got 7 losses already. Even if they win out, they're going to have, they don't have the tiebreakers over Houston anymore because Houston just beat them.
And with
Mahomes, all of a sudden, what's like, that?
Well, I was just going to say with Mahomes, you know, and it's the Brady's tough because he's the unicorn. He's the ultimate unicorn. But Mahomes has played so much extra football and his style of play. I mean, we've seen him limp through how many playoff games?
Yeah.
I mean, limping around, just clearly, I mean, clearly injured. But how is that all coming back right now at the worst time for them?
I don't know, but we're going to have new teams in the mix. We're going to have new teams in the NFC, new teams in the AFC in the conference championship games. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really wide open, fun NFL postseason. We'll have much more in the NFL as the program goes along. We'll blitz it at 11, get into the Browns and the Bengals as the show goes along as well. Interesting weekend for different reasons for both of those teams. Coming up next, we have a Heisman finalist. Brian Hartline is introduced down in Tampa. Speaking of Kenny Powers, and Ryan Day's thoughts on being the two seed. Look at all that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday edition of the program. The Heisman finalists were announced. Julian Sayin among them. He joins Fernando Mendoza, Diego Pavia, and Jeremiah Love as the four Heisman finalists who were invited to the Downtown Athletic Club for the ceremony on Saturday. Reese has a vote. I have a vote as well. One of the big things with the Heisman, I respect the heck out of it, and I never take the responsibility lightly. I've gone over my process many times, like how did you play in the five toughest games your team played? Those are my criteria for it. The idea being that everybody plays five tough games. The other thing with the Heisman that I'm very, very cognizant of is the Heisman announces the Heisman. So you're never going to hear me give you any lean on what I was thinking in the Heisman or where I went with the Heisman. I know Reese feels the same way. One thing that I did tell you a little over a month ago was that if you thought Fernando Mendoza was going to win the Heisman, then parlay it with Indiana winning the Big Ten because one thing can't happen without the other. And I think that probably would have been something. I did get somebody message me and saying that they took advantage of that. put a little soft earn on that back all the way back in October. And so my hunch is that'll probably play out pretty well. I will tell you this. A guy that was on my ballot is not among these four. So that's without giving anything away, did you have a guy on your ballot that was not among these four?
I did not. My ballot had all three of the four.
Three
finals.
Of those four.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I think I'm very interested to see. I think one thing to look at with this is the fact that it's three northern players and one southern player. And so if the southern block went all Pavia without him playing, that could be a way for him to jump in and steal it. He could do that because the ballots are spread around the country pretty evenly. And it did take. Now, I don't know who else in the South you were necessarily going to invite. There was some momentum for Jacob Rodriguez, the Texas Tech linebacker, and the way he played. But there really wasn't anybody else down there that group could kind of rally behind. And so, I think it's going to be really tight, at the top my hunch is between Pavia and Mendoza is kind of my hunch on how this thing kind of breaks. But it is noteworthy, I think, that three of the four are northern players.
Yeah, I do think you'll see it Mendoza, Pavia, and I'm very interested to see where the numbers go from Pavia to Sayin. I think for Jeremiah, similarly for, you know, for Jeremiah Love and for Jeremiah Smith,
yeah,
what kind of a vote accumulation they got, how many second, third place votes they got, and then where in the country were Jeremiah Love votes, where in the country were Jeremiah Smith votes, to your point, where in the country were Jacob Rodriguez votes, did Dante Moore get any? Because I think that Monday after, so it's next Saturday night, the Heisman Trophy ceremony on ABC, that Monday they'll release the top 10 and kind of the points accumulations that those 10 recipients got. And I think for Pavia, Ty Simpson had a bunch of love and then did not take care of the football down the stretch of the season. They forgot about Ryan Williams, and so I'd be very surprised if he creaked into the top 10 at all. But yeah, it feels like Southern love's going to Pavia, and that's what's propelling him onto that Heisman finalist stage.
I do think that will be interesting is where the SEC votes went.
Yeah.
And if they all had Pavia, they all went towards Pavia, is he going to be able to steal this thing? Because as you mentioned, there's three guys all right here in a small little circle in Love, Sayin, and Mendoza that are all going to be taking votes from each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if the Southern block just went all Pavia, I mean, we need Kornacki for this to break this all down. But if the Southern block went all Pavia, then he might steal it at that point. I am curious to see if the Northern block all went Mendoza one, though, which in case that would flip it right back to even. So I think that will be very, very interesting how that all shakes out. You could argue, I don't know where college football is such a mess right now with the calendar and all of it. I still think the Heisman needs to be a regular season award. I know Doug and some others have talked about putting it at the end of the playoff, and I understand why you would maybe want to do that, but I think that also would essentially turn into the best player on the best team. And sometimes it's that anyway, but I think you would never have for example, you wouldn't have had Travis Hunter last year. He wouldn't have won the Heisman, and he deserved the Heisman in every single way. Like, Diego Pavia wouldn't even be invited if you did it at the end of the playoff. He wouldn't even be invited, and he probably should be invited based on the year. Jeremiah Love wouldn't even be invited. It would be an entirely different set of four players.
Jaden Daniels would be forgotten.
Totally. Great point. That's another great one. Yeah, be totally forgotten.
And
you still have so many games left. I don't really know what the sweet spot is, but I do like it being a season award that's accessible to most to a bigger swath of players.
I do think, and I can't unhear it in my head, that Ryan Day thought that the Big Ten championship game was a part of the regular season, because it's not. It's a postseason game where you did the Heisman for the regular season, and then because they love sponsoring things. I mean, we love a good sponsored award, maybe a hyphened name award, you did a postseason Heisman or a postseason, whatever you'd like to call it.
Conn Smythe.
Sure.
Like what they do in hockey.
They do it, for
NBA Finals MVP. That almost matters as much as the heart.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not bad. I would be for that, to find a way to do that. The college football bracket has been out. We've had some time to think about it. Ryan Day available yesterday. Had some thoughts on it as well. Here were his thoughts on the Buckeyes being a 2 seed.
Well, I think, the committee recognized, the body of work that we had this year and found ourselves in the fourth quarter fighting it out against a good team last night. And so, we're excited about where we are and going down to Dallas again and playing against some, a really good opponent, either A&M or Miami, two really good teams. So, and then going from there, when you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, there's some really good teams out there. So it doesn't matter really if you're the 1, 2, 3, or 4. I mean, you got to play from here on out. That's just how it goes. When I look at where Indiana is, when I look at where Georgia is, when I look where Texas Tech is, I mean, there's great teams. So excited about that. And now we have to be at our best.
Yeah, they are going to have to be at the best. Who do you hope that they play? Like, what game do you want to see? Them against A&M or Miami?
A&M. I'd love to see Ohio State play in a Cotton Bowl road game.
Well, we kind of saw it last year. You might see it again.
I don't think it honestly matters to me either way.
Which game do you want to see, though? Like, I know it doesn't matter. You want them to beat whoever. But, I mean, like, which game would you be more excited for? Like, even take the playoff out of it. If one of them was on the schedule next year and you could pick, which one would you want?
I think it would be Miami, because I think any chance to beat Miami makes me happy.
Back for 0-2. Yeah. I think I would like to see them. I think I like shutting the SEC up, so I would love for them to have a path that includes beating A&M and Georgia, because I think both of those are real threats. Ohio State wanted to play in Dallas. They did. They did not want to play in Miami, or they preferred, I'm not saying they don't want to play in Miami, but they preferred Dallas. There was a routine to Dallas that they liked. The other thing I thought of, and this isn't pay attention to the scores, it's just common sense. Like, if you are Ryan Day, which location has less distraction? Dallas by 1,000 miles. So the Dallas setup for a Cotton Bowl game, the Cotton Bowl is out in Jerry World. The media hotel is in downtown Dallas. Everything is long drives. It's all, you're on freeways. The media hotels and the team hotels, they're nice, but they're not like in the middle of anything. And I don't know if it's still this way or not, but the way that it used to be at the Orange Bowl, and I've been to both of these bowls several times, the way it used to be at the Orange Bowl, the team hotels were like in Miami Beach. What does Miami Beach have around New Year's Eve and New Year's Day? Lots of distraction.
Beautiful people.
Lots of beautiful people and lots of distraction. So I didn't even think about that yesterday when I'm like, why would Ohio State rather not play in Miami? You'd rather play in Miami against Miami or Texas A&M than play a road game essentially in Dallas against Texas A&M. But the off-field stuff in Miami is pretty real. And around that time of year, Miami is a scene, man. It is a absolute scene.
Would be fun to go. And you know, you won't get this in the national championship game, which will be the exact same stadium. But to beat, I like the idea very much so of Ohio State being the road team and going in and getting booed and shutting the fans up.
Yeah, especially A&M.
Yeah.
Stupid yell leaders and all that stuff. I don't know why this just popped into my head. This is not for air, but I was in 2000, Florida State was playing Penn State in the, I want to say it was like 05 in the Orange Bowl. And a girl I worked with in Tallahassee ended up going to Miami and was a television presenter down there. She was a weather girl and then went to LA. But anyway, she was running in some pretty high level circles in Miami and we were the same age and we were down there and she's like, you got to come out with us on New Year's Eve. So we did. So we went to this, she got us into this New Year's Eve party. She was dating someone who, if I told you, you would absolutely be like, oh, well, that's how you got in. That makes all the sense in the world. And so we walked in. It was at a Nikki Beach New Year's Eve party in Miami Beach. The bar was called Nikki Beach. I think what it was called. And we were in the VIP area. And all I will say is the late great Junior Seau knew how to have a good time. And that's for some reason the Jones brothers were there. Thomas Jones and Julius Jones, the running backs, the one from Notre Dame and the one from Virginia. They were in there. And like all of these old Dolphins players were in this VIP area. And as I was thinking about Ohio State playing in the Orange Bowl, I'm thinking, yeah, I would probably want to avoid all of that. That would probably be a win to avoid all of that. So I think Dallas is a little bit more of a sterile location for the Buckeyes for sure on that side of things. Ohio State is going to be playing this game whoever they play. We know it'll be in Dallas. We know it'll be New Year's Eve. They're going to be doing so without, with Brian Hartline kind of half in, half out. He was introduced yesterday down in Tampa. He had some comments on the week last week. Ryan Day addressed it as well. We will get to that. And Notre Dame for here, from here on out, what does that start to look like? We get to all that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I need a small order.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football on The Fan 2. Catch the Falcons and Bucks live from Tampa. Fan coverage starts Thursday night at 8 on 1460 AM and The Fan's HD2.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
And before you buy a diamond, and please, friends, trust me on this, go see my friends at Diamond Seller. Not all jewelers are created equal, and for more than 78 years, Diamond Seller has set the standard for craftsmanship, service, and value. Their in-house jewelers, gemologists work together to make sure every diamond is as brilliant as the person you loved, all backed by their guaranteed best price. They don't just sell rings. They build relationships, last generations. This holiday, shop where I shop, Diamond Seller, a jeweler trusted for over seven decades. Visit DiamondSeller.com for more. You go in there, Easton, or, of course, on Sawmill. Tell them Bo sent you. They'll take care of you on that one. All right. Brian Hartline was introduced yesterday down at USF. He was asked about last week and trying to juggle it all. Here was his answer to that question.
Frankly, I would say last week was the hardest week, just with the amount of things that were moving and being pulled away and all these things. Once we kind of get through, I think this week we have a little bit of time to get back to take a breath, get organized, and then be able to operate a little bit from afar and also be cleaner there. So I'm going to feel a lot better moving forward than it was last week. Last week was a tough week.
I really don't know what the answer is to this, and we're going to get into this a little bit more specifically coming in at the real truth, but this kind of dovetails into this thing that Lane Kiffin and his staff at LSU is doing for Ole Miss, and I think this has to be described as nothing less than a solid. I mean, this is definitely a solid, like LSU and Ole Miss are rivals. Four current LSU assistant coaches are joining offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr. at Ole Miss. They all got to Oxford yesterday to prepare for the college football playoff. They play Tulane, and then if they win, they would play, which they will, they would play Georgia, which is a rematch of a game that was a seven-point game the last time they played in Athens. Tight ends coach Joe Cox, wide receivers coach George McDonald, assistant quarterback coach Dane Stevens, receivers coach Sawyer Jordan, all went back to Oxford. And so I think Kiffin screwed up about a million things here. Somebody I think was out of his control. I mean, it's the calendar. Like, what are you going to do with it? And maybe he was trying to have his cake and eat it too a little bit with Ole Miss. But this is a pretty good solid he's doing for them to basically give them their offensive staff aside from him.
I mean, that was his team. And so I can understand where, you know, coming out of that, he wanted to coach. He wanted to lead these guys through the college football playoff. I mean, this is the best team Ole Miss has had in a long time, at least certainly the highest ranked and probably the best opportunity for the Rebels in the history of that school. So I get it. I get it all from an emotional standpoint. Logistically, it doesn't make sense for the head coach at LSU to be coaching Ole Miss in the college football playoff. But you can, I think, and I'm sure the relationship between Lane and Pete was a little frosty at the end there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not lost on me that Lane's wardrobe was taken out of then his office, now Pete's office, and put right outside the football facility. But I do think there's a lot of love for those coaches and those players. And with all the bad in college football, this is good.
Mm-hmm. I just, if you're going to do this, just let Lane coach the team. He wanted to coach the team from all reporting that we've got. He wanted to stay. He wanted to coach them through this. And you throw his stuff out of the locker room, but now you're going to have these guys back. Like, I just don't understand it. Like,
yeah, you
just
do.
I mean, you know why
they're not letting him.
I get
they don't want him recruiting their players to go to LSU.
I get that, but you don't think these coaches can do the same thing?
I agree that we're splitting hairs a little bit here, but I think it's much less effective when it's the head coach.
If I'm Ole Miss and I'm going to act that way, I'm just going to bring in new coaches. And I know that's hard and I know that's difficult and it may be a disservice to your players, but these coaches chose to leave you too. So if you're going to act like that towards him, act like that towards them.
Yeah, I think for them it really came down to we can't have Kiffin in here with this roster because it's the most talented roster. His stretch there is the most talented stretch. It's the best stretch of football they've ever had. They had a few moments. I mean, Archie Manning was great there. Obviously, Eli was very good there too. And they've had a couple other spots, but like the 10 win seasons, all that stuff. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. So, it pleases me that Ole Miss is going to have it pretty close to put their best foot forward in this playoff. And, you know, unfortunately, it'll be them. It also is weird, though, too, that they didn't just put A&M at 6 and Ole Miss at 7. That would have prevented a rematch from Ole Miss and Georgia because it's all arbitrary. It doesn't really matter. Like, you could have put Texas A&M 6 playing against Tulane. Ole Miss could have been the 7 playing against Miami. That way you get new matchups everywhere because, of course, Ole Miss and Georgia have already played. So there was some common sense, I think, from a scheduling standpoint that they missed. Obviously, one of the big talking points yesterday was Notre Dame and what to do with them. Urban Meyer was on Colin Cowherd's show and had some comments for Marcus Freeman in terms of Marcus, should he stay or should he go if the NFL is calling?
Marcus is my friend. He did not ask me, but I would say you stay in college 100%. You have controllables in college as a head coach. In the NFL, I found you just, there's so many uncontrollables that you don't have. You know, whether it's the GM, the, you know, just so you have an owner, you have all kinds of things in college. It's you. And at Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, now he has great support from the AD and the president, et cetera, et cetera. But Marcus Freeman, as I found out, you give up so much when you take that next step and so much that's out of your control. And plus, you're going to lose in the NFL. It's built, and I'm not sure Marcus, the Marcus I know, he can't take losing like I can't take losing. You're going to win at Notre Dame. Now, are you going to win the national title? I don't know, but look at their schedule. He's going to play a season every year where he's favored in at least 9 or 10 of those games, maybe more. That doesn't happen at the next level.
I love Herbs. But I said this when he took the Jacksonville job. I don't think he had any idea how the NFL actually worked. And I meant that as a compliment because I think he was always just nose to the grindstone on college football. And he probably didn't realize what it was and what he signed up for. But if you know Urban and you know Saban and you know those type of guys, the word he kept saying there was controllables, right? And while college football still feels pretty out of control, if you're Marcus Freeman, there are controllables. You control your roster. And by the way, speaking of controllables, Notre Dame controls what they do in the future. And I'll be interested to see where all of that shakes out here in the next couple of years. Isn't there a press conference today with Bavakwa?
At noon.
Yeah. See if he goes scorched earth on the ACC, if there's a way for them to get out. There was some speculation about that yesterday. We'll hit you with the real truth. Second hour of the program coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reese, sir. A big early test for the basketball Buckeyes. Ohio State hosts number 13 Illinois tonight at 7:30. OSU 7-1 overall, 1-0 in Big Ten play. Tonight's game is Peacock only, but you can hear it on The Fan. Brandon Beam will gently warm you up at 6:30. Ohio State will play West Virginia Saturday night at Rocket Arena in downtown Cleveland. The Ohio State women's squad ranked 21st in the most recent AP Top 25. OSU will host Western Kentucky on Thursday. In college football, Ohio State's Julian Sain was named a Heisman finalist Monday. He'll join Vanderbilt's Diego Pavia, Indiana's Fernando Mendoza, and Notre Dame's Jeremiah Love in New York City next Saturday night for the Heisman Awards ceremony. In the NFL Monday, the Chargers beat the Eagles 22-19 in overtime, and due to mounting injuries in the quarterback room, the Colts are working out 43-year-old quarterback Philip Rivers. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Mark Levy's office at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. That's 1-800-MORE-SLEEP, or visit him online at sleepbettercolumbus.com.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Tuesday edition. Dommy coming up in 28 minutes. Time now to hit you with that real truth.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondSeller.com.
Brian Hartline should be with the Buckeyes during the college football playoff. Is that the real truth?
It's a really tough one. Love Brian Hartline. Incredibly appreciative of him stepping in when he did and elevating that position group the way that he did over his time. It's really, you could make a pretty straightforward argument that it's the greatest job a position coach / offensive coordinator has ever done in terms of recruiting and developing talent. Full stop. I mean, there's some, you think of the history of the sport. I mean, there's some lineage where certain types of players come to certain places, quarterbacks, defensive line, like they become this linebacker, you, whatever. Ohio State's been NFLU since Urban and Pantone got there. But what he's done with receiver positions, unbelievable. And then, of course, the butts coming. I probably wouldn't. I would probably say there is no way for you to manage all of this. And I know I brought up the Tom Herman stuff from 2014. The sport was so different in 2014. There wasn't NIL. There wasn't a portal. There wasn't a first signing day and then a second signing day. It's just a very different sport. And so to me, I just don't know how it can't be a distraction, and I don't know how he could possibly give his best to both places. And he really needs to do what's best at South Florida is really what he needs to do, because that's where he's the boss. And he's got a portal that's coming open in January. He's got a staff he's got to build. He's got a lot of things that needs to be done down there. I just don't know how he could have one foot in down there and one foot in up here. So I don't think it's the real truth. I think in general, in these circumstances, I would do a split and just say, well, I mean, they have assistant receiver coaches. They have this stuff. You know, obviously it's not Heartline, but you're not getting the full Heartline now anyway. There's no way that he possibly can.
Bo, I do believe that Brian Heartline, if he's still hanging around Ohio State during this run, is doing the University of South Florida a disservice. Because I feel like he needs to have his full attention there right now.
Mm-hmm.
From the Ohio State side of things, I honestly don't think it matters unless it is a distraction, having him there some, having him not there and whatnot. Because me personally, I don't really believe Brian Heartline was calling the plays all along. I believe
he was,
and I believe we kind of saw that in the Big Ten championship game, because that looked like an offense that we saw a lot last year. And I think there might have been times that Brian Heartline was in charge, but like I know in that Michigan game, Ryan Day had a play sheet in his hand a whole lot more than he did the rest of the year. So for Ohio State, I really, unless it is a distraction, I don't think it matters either way. I know those players love Brian, and he loves those players. But I think from the South Florida side of things, he's doing a disservice to his new job.
I do think, and it's a very polarizing issue, I think that Ryan has earned, or should at least earn the benefit of the doubt for it. If he makes the call, then you have faith that the right call is made. Whether it's, all right, you can stay on with us, or you should just focus on, you know, the insanely tough job of being a head coach at any level in college football right now. But hard to see where a human with only 24 hours in a day can do both.
If you guys were Ryan, what would you do?
I'd ask him to go.
I think that's probably the best thing. Just to avoid any possible distractions.
Yeah.
If you're saying it out loud, last week was a distraction.
Yeah.
Then I can't trust that you will have your full attention for what's to come.
No, there's no way.
No,
I mean, it's not his fault. It's the way that
it's the calendar, right?
It's the calendar. It's not anybody's fault. It just is what it is.
With all that being said, I don't think the Brian Heartline stuff had anything to do with them losing the Big Ten championship.
No, I don't think it was.
Oh no,
the reason. But if you want to remove as many distractions as possible, this is that.
Yeah, and I think the Heartline thing added to a week of distraction for Ohio State, and I do think that contributed.
From the corrections department, so that update anchor had Philip Rivers is 43. He turned 44 yesterday. Happy birthday to Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers will lead the Indianapolis Colts to the postseason. They're 8-5. They got the Seahawks at 425. He worked out with them this morning. No word from that workout. But Philip Rivers leading the Colts to the postseason. Is that the real truth?
Oh, man. So is this going to happen? So they're back. The reason they're in their spot, Daniel Jones, I mean, he cannot catch a break. And in this instance, he was playing with a broken leg and then ends up tearing his Achilles. So he's done. And they don't have Anthony Richardson because he's done for the year. So who's left there? Riley Leonard? Is he the only quarterback left?
And he's got a knee injury.
And he's got a knee. Okay. So you asked the question, he will lead them to the postseason. No, he will not. That is not the real truth. And I'm going to tell you four big reasons why. Here's their next four games. At Seattle, San Francisco at home, Jaguars at home at Texans.
That last
one. That's as tough. I mean, that's as tough as can be. The Seahawks might be the best team in football. They're on a very short list. San Francisco, San Francisco. You always struggle with Jacksonville, especially down there. And then the Texans with that defense. When is the last time Phillip Rivers played in the NFL?
It's the COVID year, 2020. Okay. He was a quarterback for the Colts.
Okay. But. So, yeah. No, not the real truth. I understand why they're doing it. You're desperate, but not the real truth.
Look, guys, in this economy, having 9 kids is rough. You got to go get some work. You got to pay for those kids. It's Christmas season. This is not the real truth. He may come back, and he may play quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, but I don't think the Colts were making the postseason anyway. So this will be a fun story. That'll be really tough at 44 and not having played in 4 seasons to jump into this thing, jump on a moving train like this is going to be really tough. And I mean, I'm interested to see how it looks if this really happens, but yeah, he's not leading them to the postseason.
Schedule's brutal.
The Texans are winning that division.
Let me see what their
for Houston.
So Houston's a game out right now. Is that
that's game out of Jacksonville?
Okay, they're a game out. So Houston's last 4. Oh boy, you might be right. Cardinals, Raiders, at Chargers, and then Colts. They'll be favored in 3 of those 4, and in the first 2, bigly. The only thing that would prevent them, Jacksonville has the game lead.
They've got the Jets, they're at the Broncos, the Colts, and the Titans are their final 4.
So they've got 2 bye weeks, too. It's just going to come, that's going to be tough. Jacksonville's got the game lead, and that might be enough to hold on.
Shedeur Sanders will actually start every game for the Browns the rest of the way. Is that the real truth?
Yeah, barring injury. And God, hopefully that doesn't happen. But no, that's legitimate in that intent, and he will start. He's the starter the rest of the way. We'll get into this at greater length here shortly. But no, he's the starter the rest of the way, barring injury.
There's part of me that still says this is not the real truth, because number 4 is looming in the background. And I think Shedeur played well enough last week and has played well enough so far to stake a claim to that job, at least for the rest of the year. But there's just something inside me that says they're going to want to see Deshaun Watson one time before this year is over.
But you can do both to the point of the real truth that was posed. Shedeur can start. Deshaun can come in. And I don't think you anger too much of the fan base if you do it in that game against Cincinnati, but the last week of the season, which I still think needs a date and a time.
So I'll tell you what, we're going to get into the Browns stuff. I'll get you the real truth on all of that. We'll get into that coming up next in terms of what the Browns' position is at quarterback and what it ought to be. You'll hear from Kevin Stefanski on that as well. We'll get into all of it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye. Dormar!
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're tracking cloudy skies here for today with highs into the upper 30s this afternoon. Also fairly breezy, south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. As we head into tomorrow, we're tracking even windier conditions as winds can gust up to over 40 miles per hour here as we go through the day. We're also looking at some rain and snow showers and highs into the 40s. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. You got the Browns game was not on here locally, so you would have to go to an establishment, or you had some sort of illegal streams, or potentially you had the ticket.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. I didn't accuse anybody of anything. You guilty?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you sound really guilty, man, and raspy. I mean,
hypothetically, if somebody had a device.
I mean, cops are listening. They do.
We appreciate they're my guys. The boys in blue.
Yeah, they're my guys.
We never commit any crimes.
Never, no. But if you were not able to watch it, you certainly know what happened. I guess where I am with them at this point, and I really think this is, I talked about this last week, and to me, all that really matters here this last month, and this isn't speaking from the position certainly of the franchise or the coaching staff or the front office or any of that, just from the perspective of somebody who's taking a look at the big picture, I really don't care too much about the wins and losses here. It doesn't matter. That's where this season is. Unfortunately, the season for them is lost in terms of being a relevant team in December. That was lost a long time ago. So really what I'm most interested in the rest of the way is, do you have to address quarterback in this offseason or not? That's it. And so Shedeur Sanders has 3 starts. He's played in 4 games. He's going to get the rest of the season to prove, to make his case. Shedeur Sanders is a 5th-round pick. He's a 5th-round pick, and he took a very normal 5th-round pick to eventually being the starter. It took injuries and trading people out, and now he's been given this opportunity, and that's all any 5th-round pick wants is the opportunity. They just want a chance to prove what they're capable of. And I think what's coolest about his play through the first 3 starts for him is each week he gets better. So one of the things they really stressed leading into the game against Tennessee for him was take advantage of the middle of the field, because so much of the action in the previous 2 games was to the perimeter and the middle of the field was being ignored. Well, what did he do? He ripped it in the middle of the field. The ball he threw to Jerry Jeudy is as good a ball and as a read as you're going to see. He threw a ball to Harold Fannin that is lights out. Big time throws. Big time throws. So what I like about it is, if you go back to when Dylan Gabriel got hurt and he was injected into the game, and I think he finished 2 of 14 in relief duty in that game, you saw a quarterback who was retreating from the pocket, who was running backwards and getting sacked and throwing it in harm's way. You really didn't see that. He did have the one mistake on the interception where he kind of threw it just in up for grabs a little bit, but that's going to come. He's a rookie. But I think what's really cool about him is week to week, he's gotten better and better and better. And I think what he's been given now is the rest of the season to prove what he's capable of and to prove to them that they don't have to draft quarterback or they don't need to go trade for or sign a free agent quarterback. That's his task over the last month of this season.
Yeah, I think he's acquitted himself nicely. Certainly a guy I'd be totally fine with them having on the roster next season as a Browns fan. I think he's been what I liked so much from Shedeur coming out of Colorado is he did so much with so much bad. And I said, that's a lot of what rookie quarterbacks have to face is they've got a lot of bad around them because they're in probably a bad spot. I didn't think he'd go all the way to the 5th round, but I thought if Shedeur was going to land at a spot, it would have a lot of bad around him. What can you do with that? And I think through 3 games that he's had, he's improved every single time he's gone out there. And it's still baffling to me, you know, in situations where you would want to put the ball in your quarterback's hands, especially with your quarterback playing so well, you take it out of his hands. But that's not a Shedeur Sanders thing. So when we talk about the value evaluating the quarterback, this is as good of a scenario as you possibly could have had with 12. I don't know what that says about the rest of the guys in the room, but I think you would want, and I hope, address the rest of the roster with your 2 first-round picks. I think what this play is right now is a good enough bridge for next season.
Shador, I think there's two nice things from the three games that you've had with Shador, and you both kind of touched on it. It seems like he's getting better. Mm-hmm. It seems like when he makes a mistake in one game, like you talked about, Bo, the first game he was running around taking huge sacks. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing that anymore. If he's using his legs, it's to extend a play or get downfield. Mm-hmm. He's not going in reverse, which is very nice. The other thing is you're not playing in the red zone the whole game. Up until Shador came in, you were playing in the red zone the whole game. There was no threat of downfield, and Shador gives you some of that. I don't even know if it's fair to judge these quarterbacks or anyone on this team due to what's going on, the people making the decisions, because I mean there were so many baffling decisions at the end of that game last week that it's like, guys, what are we doing? From what I know of football my whole life, mm-hmm. if you're down 14 and you score a touchdown, that means you kick the extra point. You're one more touchdown, an extra point away from tying the game. Mm-hmm. So what in the hell are you going for two for?
Most of the league does that now. And the reason that you do it is it's all probability is what it comes down to. And what you said at the end of that is what you're trying to avoid. You said, if you score another one, you kick an extra point, you're trying to tie the game. What going for two allows you to do is to win the game. And we've seen teams do this. You get the first one, you get that 2-point conversion, and all of a sudden it's a 6-point game, and you kick the field goal, the extra point, and you win it. Denver did it. Somebody did it to the Bengals earlier this year too, where they did it. I can't remember which game it was.
Go for two when you score the second one. I'm so sick of people.
Well, then you lose though. So hold on. No, let's just think about it. I understand that this is old football guy way of thinking, but I get it. And we don't need to turn this into Cole and AR with the 15-9, because AR was exactly
2 hours on it.
They did. AR was 100% right on that one too, because what Cole didn't take into account was time and place. There was 3 minutes left in the game in that one. And it was 15 versus 14. So this one though, on the 14, the win probability on kicking the extra win probability, if you kick the extra point, is negligible. It basically stays the same. So just follow me on this. If you kick the extra point, you have a 40-some% chance of winning. If you don't get the 2-point conversion, you still have a 40-some% chance of winning. If you get the 2-point conversion, it goes up 20% to win the game. And the other part of this is every NFL team should have a play inside the 3-yard line that they feel very, very confident about. By missing the 2-point conversion on the first one, the odds are you're not going to fail on two, because it's a 56% chance that one of the 2-point conversions is going to work. And so that's really what it comes down to. And I know that this boils your blood, Bake, but that's the thought process behind it. And most of the league does it. Most of the league in the fourth quarter does it, because now you know what it takes to go win the game. Now, you could argue the humanalytics of it, which is that it's really deflating if you don't get the 2-point conversion. And if you run it incompetently, like the Browns did on the 2 2-point conversions they run, where you have the quarterback fumble on the first one, and then on the second one, you try to do the wildcat reverse. Now, if Quinshon Judkins hands the ball to Gage Larvadan, he probably walks in, because they had never shown that wrinkle in a game all season. They'd run the wildcat to great effect a lot, much of the season. But Quinshon's job, my hunch is, on that play was to read the corner. If the corner stayed, then he hands the ball to Larvadan. If he goes with Larvadan, then he runs in and scores. And Quinshon just didn't read it right. And that's how it all blew up. And you can be critical of that all that you want. You can be critical of the choice too. I'm just trying to explain the NFL's way of thinking on 14 in the fourth quarter and how to handle it. Because basically what you're getting is information. You're getting information that gives you the best possibility to win the game. And that is the goal. And that's the thinking on it. And honestly, most of the league does it.
Well, most of the league is stupid then, because that doesn't make any sense at all. We coach games now for what might happen rather than in the moment and what is going on. And also, you're not a good enough football team to do that kind of stuff.
So that's where I'm at, because most of the league can execute a lot better than the Cleveland Browns can. The 3-10 record would tell you as much. They gave up 30 points also to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's probably the lead, like, really.
All of this is is extremely bad. But we entered talking about the quarterback, which is something I don't feel horrible about.
Yeah, I think, and to answer the Deshaun Watson thing, I think that that was put out there on Sunday from all of the various luminaries who cover the sport that he will be back on the roster next year. Everybody knows that. It's a salary cap situation that they cannot, there's no other way around it. That you can't, they're not going to have that type of dead money. So he was going to be back, absolutely. Now the question is he allowed to compete? Because, and I think this is going to be the big question for them in the offseason. Who's in this quarterback room next year?
Who's in the building?
Is it Shadur? Is it Dylan? Is it Deshaun? Is there a fourth? Do they draft one? Do they sign a free agent? That's what Shadur can prove here over the next month. He can prove over the next month, you don't have to draft anybody. Give me a full offseason, build something around me, and this is what I'm capable of. He's an incredibly gifted thrower of the football. He sees the field really well. He can layer the ball. He can do all of the things that you need to do to be successful. So that's what he has the opportunity to do here over the last month, is to get that sorted out so that they do not have to draft a quarterback and they don't have to sign one in free agency. If they don't, then they can draft receivers and offensive line, and that's really what they need as much as they need a quarterback at this point. But Shadur being a lottery ticket is best case scenario for that franchise. Tuesdays with DeBerry coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with DeBerry.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
Let me ask you a question. Did you attend every Ohio State playoff game last year in the run?
No, I didn't go to the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
I went to all the others. I was at Tennessee at home.
Yep.
I didn't go to the Rose Bowl, and then I went to Dallas, and I went to ended in Atlanta.
I lose track.
Yeah.
Where all of them were.
Yeah, it was crazy. And there's a weirder feeling. I don't know. It just seemed surreal the other day, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And here's my take on that. It was the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. You know that I'm not a fan of these conference championships, and I got beat up a little bit about it, and that's fine. But I think I'm right, and I think that going forward, there's going to be a hard look at them all across the country, especially if they're going to expand the playoff. But to me, you know, Ryan had made the routine. Last week was anything but routine, and mm-hmm. he always talks about block the noise out. There was so much noise last week. You know, first of all, no team in America played the game they played leading into their conference championship, and we love the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. We love it when Ohio State wins, but we as fans don't understand what that takes out of the team mm-hmm. and what that does to that team. You know, Woody Hayes and Arch Griffin and a ton of other guys that I've talked to over the years, they said, thank God we never had a game after that because we were so wasted. Mm-hmm. And so I think that team was emotionally drained. I think they were, you know, they were physically beaten up. That was a war. And then you go into this week for the conference championship. And you got distractions. You got Brian Hartline, who's going to mm-hmm. go to, you know, South Florida. And then you got to worry about these top recruits. Are they going to come or not? And there was no routine. You had all that crammed into that week. And that's the world of modern college football where, you know, Indiana beat Purdue by 40 some points. Ohio State was in a slugfest with Michigan, which is the game. Now, I don't know how you fix it going forward and what you do, but it's a different landscape. And the reason, and let me explain to people one more time why I'm not a fan of the conference championship, it's just it didn't mean anything. Everyone's going, oh, it means this, it means that. Okay, Ohio State went from a number one seed to number two. Okay, and in my opinion, they might have an easier route now.
Yeah, two things. I think number one, everything you said about Ohio State and the distraction and coming to all that stuff's real. Also, I do think that we can acknowledge that on that Saturday night, the better team won.
Well, like, Indiana
was better. I don't know that they're better in a month.
I don't know.
Hey, Dummy, you got to own it. You got to own this part of it. They bullied us up front. No one got to Julian the way that they did.
No, I understand.
I mean, they were good. You got to give. I'm not saying like they play 10 times, Ohio State wins 8 or 9, but Indiana's not getting skunked. No. They're a really good team. What he's done over there is remarkable.
It is.
And I do think that game meant a lot to them. They hadn't done that since 1945, buddy.
Well, it meant a lot to Indiana.
Meant a lot to Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, it meant a lot to Indiana. And we can debate whether the better team won. I mean, congratulations to Indiana. But I think the Ohio State offensive line was beaten up. And here's the thing. You can tell these guys, oh, don't sleep on this Indiana. The only knowledge they had is where they handled them pretty good last year in the shoe. And then it's Indiana. That's been the doormat for what you just said. You know, I mean, it's like, come on, really? You know, I don't know.
If it were Oregon or Penn State waiting.
Yeah.
There's a brand bias against Indiana that I think finally got broken because of what happened on Saturday
night. And Cignetti's done an amazing job. Yes. And let me tell you what. For you fans out there, if Indiana chooses to continue this, they've got one of the largest fan bases in the country. And I was reading where they've got all these top CEOs that graduated from Mark Cuban's a perfect example.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's not like they don't have deep pockets. Mm-mm. And if the school and the president says, hey, we kind of like this, we want to do it. Watch out, Indiana. It could, you know, in the modern world of college football, and they got the right guy. Cignetti has used the transfer portal like a genius.
Yeah.
But, what I'm saying, though, about the conference championship, it really didn't mean anything for I think they get an easier route now, in my opinion, and they went from 1 to 2. I mean,
so you're likely going to get Miami or A&M, then you'll get Georgia.
Yeah.
The other way you would have got
Alabama or Oklahoma.
Alabama, Oklahoma, and then Oregon or Texas Tech.
Yeah. 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 The other two brackets are pretty easy. I mean, one's got James Madison, the other's got Tulane. What are we doing?
Oh, they had to, you know.
I know, but then Notre Dame should have been in. Our buddy Marcus Freeman should have been in. I don't know.
I think
this is just to lay the ground to get to 18 or the Big Ten and SEC want 24 teams.
No, that's, the SEC doesn't. The SEC is cool. The Big Ten wants 24.
Yeah, well, it's coming. The SEC wants 7 teams, though.
Yeah, they want 16 and they want. Yeah, I mean, everybody, you're going to be selfish. You're going to want your. Do you think this would be. You've been around this area a long time, and we've talked a lot about Notre Dame and through the years about joining a conference, and it seems like they're going to go the other way, that they're going to be really chesty not to go to a conference. Do you think this is something that potentially could force them to?
Yeah, I think eventually it is. I mean, they have got to figure something out. I mean, and I think it's funny now that Michigan's doing a little saber rattling and talking about they're going to go independent and all this. That stuff's not going to work. You're going to have to join a conference. And I think we are closer than ever to a super conference. I think it's coming. I mean, Gene Smith used to talk about it and people say, what, really? No, I think it's getting closer than ever because right now, the Big Ten and the SEC aren't playing nice. But the only way to make them play nice is if they're united, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. This, what did you make of, it seemed like Ohio State wanted to play in Dallas for the familiarity and knowing the routine of it all, despite the fact that it could be A&M, which would be a home game for A&M, obviously. Dealt with that last year against Texas. Buckeyes always show out, but in Miami, they definitely would have for sure been the home field advantage, no matter who the opponent was. But then I started thinking about Miami, and I'm thinking about, well, I wonder if Ryan was like, yeah, I don't need Miami distractions with anybody. Like, there's, you and I have been to both of these bowls a bunch. The Dallas, they do a great job, but it's really sprawling, and it's a little bit harder to get into trouble with distractions, whereas Miami, you just walk out the hotel, and they're right there for you.
No, absolutely, and the weather's perfect. Last year when we were in Dallas, we had an ice storm.
Yeah,
and,
it's cold.
You know, But I don't worry too much about any of that. This team's pretty locked down. And, you know, it's not like the bowl games of old. I mean, Ohio State, you know, these are now like three to four day business trips. And they got them pretty locked down. But, yeah, there is a familiarity with Dallas. I like Dallas. I think they do a nice job. Mm-hmm. You know, the other option was the Rose Bowl, which would have been nice. But they just, I think that they know the magic. I think Ryan Day learned so much last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to him Sunday, the day after the loss, and you know, he told me he didn't sleep all night and that he was pretty PO'd. And, you know, there's a lot of second guessing going on. I mean, let's face it, for the 99% of it, the defense, you can say, played a winning performance. You know, mm-hmm. They had a couple letdowns, but other than that, they you know, you limited an explosive offense like at the 13 points. The defense played well enough to win, and the offense played well enough to win for the most part. But when you get in the red zone, you got to score.
Yeah,
and you know, I think they're going to do some second guessing. We have seen Lincoln Kehoelz come in on those short yard running plays and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if they forgot about him or whatever, but I would have used him down there. Julian's got a bad ankle, and you know, it looked like, you know, it gave way as he was trying to do that quarterback sneak. And he's not the most physical kid, whereas Lincoln, he is. So I think they learned a lesson there. You know, go heavy package. We've seen him do that when you got to get a yard. But, you know, and then the kicker, you got to make those chip shots. You got to make it. And I feel bad for that kid. That's hard for a fielding. I mean, and he, for the most part, has been very good this year. I mean, really, has had a really good year, and you feel bad for him because, you know, you're on an island, and you know, people can be rude and whatever. He's a good kid, and I feel bad for him, you know?
Yeah, I think if I'm from a Buckeye perspective, like, you probably played your B-plus game defensively, A-minus game defensively, and you probably played your C-plus game offensively, and you still could have won it.
Yeah.
It was right there. Yeah. Just execute in the red zone, you still win it. So, like,
They should have won by two touchdowns.
Still think they're the best team in the country with the highest ceiling, and I still like their chances. And maybe it's a punch in the mouth and you wake up. I mean, we saw that last year.
Well, and this is what I said to Ryan. Sometimes these things are wake-up calls.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a wake-up call? And he said, well, better be.
Yeah.
And it has to be a wake-up call to everybody across the board. But, you know, I go back to what I said originally. All that stuff led up to what happened. It was the perfect storm.
It was.
And I really do believe they were a tired football team that took that field. And they went up against a team that was their Super Bowl. That was Indiana's national championship. They got a shot. And Ohio State, I think, you know, Ryan will never admit it, but I think they were a tired football team, both emotionally and physically, and they played like it. That offensive line has dominated all season long. Julian Sain was sacked six times the entire season. They got to him five times.
I know.
And you know what? God bless Indiana. That's great, but that was not the O-line we saw play against Michigan or against this whole season. I think those guys, they were beat up. They were tired. And I think deep down, they'll never admit it, but I think they went in and said, oh, this is Indiana.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the Indiana they were used to.
No. Lesson learned. Good talking to you as always, buddy. Thanks for your time.
All right, brother. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Uncle Dom on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey!
It's the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Looking back at your Northwestern game, 62 points in the paint. You've got to be thrilled about guys making the effort to get to the glass.
Yeah, big point of emphasis for us going into the game. Felt like in order for us to be efficient offensively, we had to really attack them and get the ball inside. Didn't shoot it as well as we would have liked from three, but we stayed consistent throughout the course of the game, and ultimately it paid off in a big way.
Okay, another comment in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down.
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Classic Bob.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Jake, also looking back at last Saturday's game, 18 points off turnovers. Does that speak to some of the attention on defense and also being able to get in transition after that?
You know, felt like we needed to be more aggressive in our gaps, and we needed to, just be more aggressive in general defensively to try to generate some, broken floor opportunities on the other end. And I thought our guys did a great job executing that. Certainly got room for us to grow in that area, but took a good step forward against Northwestern.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota, like the best-selling Toyota Camry. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Camrys, or lease a new 26 Camry LE for $269 a month for 39 months with $3699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra, call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
This is Ryan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, we'll start with some breaking college football news. Or I guess college athletics news. This is from Yahoo Sports. Front Office Sports has also done some reporting on this. But a private equity firm called Otro Capital will invest in a new corporate entity being formed by the University of Utah to manage revenue-generating athletic operations. Yahoo Sports says it could serve as a possible blueprint for other schools to emulate. Utah's Board of Trustees is expected to approve the formation of the LLC during a meeting taking place today. The entity will be majority owned by the university, with Otro Capital owning a significant minority stake. Its aim is to maximize all revenue streams, from ticketing to concessions to corporate sponsorships and other licensing deals. The venture from the university says it's expected to generate as much or more than $500 million in capital. Corporate structure has been done by schools before. Clemson University and Kentucky each have such holding companies. This is the first time a private equity firm is involved. Front Office Sports spoke with a private equity manager back in June who said that more and more schools are going to follow suit with what Utah's doing. Quote, the dam will break at some point. I hope it's soon, because there's a huge opportunity to generate returns and, I think, professionalize programs and invest in schools. End quote. Thing or not a thing.
It's an inevitable thing, right? I mean, we knew this was coming. Florida State talked about this a few years ago when they were trying to find a way out of the ACC. The real truth and the simplest straight line, direct line on this is all of these athletic departments, because they don't want to make cuts. They don't. A lot of them don't want to cut the amount of sports. They don't want to cut what coaches and directors are being compensated. And so they have to find money. I mean, we've talked about that for a long time. They have to find money. And what this is it allows for found money. And it's going to, they're going to find ways to charge you for things you haven't been charged before, because they're going to have to get the return on their investment. You're going to get a bunch of cash right away that's going to be infused into the program. And then that private equity company is going to want their return on their investment. And so that's when you're going to have to pay the piper a little bit on that. So how all of that's managed is going to be fascinating to me, but this was inevitable. And the reality is you're not going to tell coaches and athletic directors they can't make the amount of money they used to make. And so the only way to solve this is to find money, and that's what Utah did. They're first. They will not be the last by a damn stretch.
If you're going to do this, I'm glad that it's done per school.
Yeah.
Don't make the conferences do this like the Big Ten wants to do and force everybody under their umbrella. If your school needs to do this, okay, go ahead and do it. But careful what you wish for, because somebody is going to own you now. And you thought coaches were getting fired easy now. Wait until a private equity firm puts this money in and you're not getting a return on your investment. You thought athletic directors were getting fired quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till this happens. Wait till now. I also think this is going to be very interesting, because like a state university like Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
how much money should people be putting into that institution now? From their hard-earned dollars, if they're getting private equity to come in and take care of things. I think that's going to be a very slippery slope for some of these state universities.
Yeah, Florida had a private athletic department for years. When I was down there, they had one. You mentioned Kentucky, and who else recently?
Clemson.
Clemson has it. So, yeah, I mean, this was kind of inevitable. This is where we were all headed.
Speaking of ridiculous greed, FIFA announced Monday that more hydration breaks are coming to the 2026 World Cup. 16 cities spread across the United States, Mexico, and Canada will hold games from Thursday, June 11th through Sunday, July 19th of next year, citing hot temperatures. FIFA says mandatory three-minute breaks will happen during each match at the midway point of the first and second halves. The World Cup's broadcasting partner, Fox, can now schedule two additional built-in breaks throughout game broadcasts. Thing or not a thing.
That's classic. Fox loves a commercial break, baby. They love themselves a commercial break. So there you go. That's it. I mean, FIFA is probably, like, what is the least scrupulous? Is it FIFA or the IOC? International Olympic Committee or FIFA? Which one has less integrity?
I think the IOC strives to be FIFA.
Okay, so FIFA is the most corrupt by far, and then the Olympic Committee is trying to get there. It's close between the two of them. It's all just a bunch of bribery and utter nonsense. I mean, this fits. I'm sure Fox was doing cartwheels about this. They love a commercial break, even in the middle of a review that's pretty critical.
Yeah, that's the one thing Fox doesn't need for their broadcast is more commercials. I mean, has this been an issue with soccer players not being hydrated properly? Like, well, I guess I just don't understand it. I don't understand.
Dude,
what
they played a World Cup in Brazil. Okay, Brazil. There literally was a stadium in the rainforest. You want to do oppressive heat? That happened, but somehow playing in New York or Southern California is going to be just too much to bear.
This is also like the largest World Cup ever. Like the most teams are going to be allowed to play in this. So more.
Money.
Let's do the Jeff Kent thing here. Jeff Kent holds the record for home runs by a second baseman, was elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame this past Sunday. 57-year-old Kent was named on 14 of 16 ballots by the Contemporary Baseball Era Committee, two more than he needed to be inducted. Just as noteworthy as Kent's selection were the names of those who didn't earn enough support. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Don Mattingly, Dale Murphy, Gary Sheffield on that list of those who were not allowed in. The candidacies of Bonds and Clemens have been long among those most hotly debated among Hall of Fame aficionados because steroids. With Sunday's results, they moved one step closer to what could be permanent exclusion from the Hall. Thing or not a thing?
It's just stupid. This group, the baseball writers, just... And now I understand this is the baseball Contemporary Baseball Area Committee, whoever the hell that is. They're bozos. And it's always bothered me that they just arbitrarily decide, well, this guy for sure did and this guy for sure didn't. Like, are you sure Jeff Kent didn't? And I have no idea. I've no clue. It doesn't really matter to me. But, like, you're sure he didn't. But these guys, what are we doing? Like, how are you having a Hall of Fame without Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens? Like, the pound of flesh is enough. It's the best hitter and the best pitcher that most people have seen in the last 30 years. Like, I just assume everybody was doing some sort of performance enhancing in the 90s. This isn't like A-Rod where it was known and there were rules against it and he did it anyway. That's not that. That's not what they did. This whole thing is just stupid. Baseball is really out of touch with how they handled this, in my opinion.
Would it be fair to guess, Bo, that 80% of the baseball players were using some kind of performance-enhancing drug back then?
Yes, and for the most part, it was to get back on the field quicker.
So all of the pitchers, for the most part, that Barry Bonds was pitching to...
I believe that,
were pitching to him, were on them, and also almost all of the batters that Roger Clemens was throwing to were on it as well, so... I mean, that seems like a pretty even playing field. I'm not saying it's right, but if a majority of them were doing it, like, I don't know how you can put one person in and not another. And almost every person that played in that era will tell you Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just utter nonsense. Final hour here on a Tuesday coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew, so here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State's off to a 1-0 start in conference play. Jake Diebler's squad looks to go 2-0, hosting number 13 Illinois tonight at 7:30. You can hear Buckeyes and Illini on the Fan with coverage at 6:30. OSU's going to head to Cleveland this weekend to play West Virginia Saturday night at 8 p.m. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets wrap a three-game road trip tonight in Carolina against the Hurricanes. Jackets are back on home ice Thursday, hosting the Ottawa Senators. In college football, the Buckeyes are off until New Year's Eve. They'll play either Miami or Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. OSU's Julian Sain was named one of four Heisman finalists. He'll head to New York next Saturday night for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. This update is sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck. Those are available at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Tuesday edition. Time to blitz the NFL. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present NFL Blitz.
Sponsored by Monogram Homes. Go custom. Go Monogram. Visit monogramhomes.net to start building.
All right, Bake, we'll start with you. I believe I had that. What did you have?
I believe that I was never a believer in the Colts. And even though they were playing well, I saw that schedule down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was going to be tough for them. And that was with a healthy Daniel Jones. Now they don't have a healthy Daniel Jones. They don't have a healthy Anthony Richardson. Riley Leonard is a little banged up, and they're working out 44-year-old Phillip Rivers. That would be like you or me, Bo, going to play quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts right now. I don't think that would work out well. So, no. Unfortunately for the Colts, it's been a great story, and I think they're a team that's on the rise, but it just wasn't going to happen for them this year.
I don't know what they do at quarterback, because you can't give him the extension now. He's a free agent, so you can't give him the extension because it's nothing personal. It's just he's not going to be back for a year. So they have to reset entirely at quarterback. My hunch is they'd be in on Mac Jones would be my guess, is they'd be in for somebody like that.
Can they franchise him?
They can, but I don't know if you would. I mean, would you want to do that? Would you want to pay him that type of money next year when he's not going to play? I mean, that's the hard thing is like...
to know what that hit is.
Right, massive. It'd be in the 40-some million. And for a guy who's not going to play, he's not going to play next year. It's an Achilles. It's 12 months. There's no cheating in Achilles, unless you're Adrian Peterson.
I've seen a couple times in our YouTube chat today, Joe Flacco, stop. Everybody needs to be done. It was fun. It was fun while it lasted. The weirdest part to me of all of this, because the Colts situation is insane across the board, is Anthony Richardson was put on injured reserve in October following what they call a freak pregame incident involving a stretching band that left him with a facial fracture. Huh?
I missed that. I didn't even know that. I totally missed that.
That's from ESPN's reporting.
Oh, my God. What did you have, Reese?
Well, I was 7-7, so I had and I also didn't have. Mm-hmm. But I had that the Texans defense plus C.J. Stroud is terrifying. Now, I think you're right in Jacksonville having that lead in the AFC South will probably give them the division, but a wild card team in the Houston Texans will be a lot of fun. Because seeing C.J. Stroud is something I think all Buckeye fans want to do. See him succeed, I should say.
I believe I had that Pittsburgh was going to beat Baltimore, or at the very least it would be a very close game. And the reason that I was confident about that is because something's not right in Baltimore, and something's not right with the quarterback. And so my hunch is there are a bunch of injuries that Lamar has that are not disclosed, but it's real. And I was pretty adamant that they would win the division until I've seen the way Lamar's played for the last month. And I think this is kind of who they are the rest of the way. And it's going to be uphill, obviously, for them. What didn't you have, Bake?
I did not have the Kansas City Chiefs being out of the AFC West race, maybe all year, let alone this early. I really don't understand what's going on in Kansas City and what has happened to the Chiefs. I know they flipped their philosophy a few years ago where they went more defensive rather than offensive, but I thought they would be there at the end with those two, and it sure doesn't look like they're going to be.
So Sunday afternoon's laundry time for me. I anger fold my laundry because of what the Browns had done to me earlier in the day. I didn't have myself watching the Packers-Bears game to its finality, or to its finality, I'll say. Yeah, because I can't figure out a better way to say it. And enjoying the hell out of both of those teams and that whole atmosphere. Those will be a lot of fun, the Packers and the Bears, going forward through the playoffs, because I think they're both really good.
I mean, there's several things missed. I didn't have Minnesota hammering Washington. The Bucs collapse is now complete. But I do think it is the obvious one is Mahomes in Kansas City. And I don't know if this is like when all of a sudden the Dallas Cowboys got old in the 90s. I don't know if it's that. It kind of seems like it might be like that. There's probably a correlation between paying your quarterback a bunch of money and not being able to fill out the rest of your roster. There's probably a correlation to the fact that Tom Brady, while in New England, never took the maximum. You guys remember all of that? He never took the maximum. And they were able to keep teams together. And I think that's something at Kansas City. I think they've got some real question marks because they're getting old in spots too. Tight end, defensive line, a lot of them. So they could be in for a little bit of a swoon here. Player who impressed, Bake, who do you got?
Since we're talking about old quarterbacks, I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. I know the stats weren't really great in the win over Baltimore, but man, he made a couple throws that made you think of Super Bowl Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He made a couple throws that maybe him and only a handful of others on the planet can make. Nice to see the old guy still have his fastball every now and then.
Yeah, he does.
I was impressed by, was it almost sports old, Tony Pollard. I think he's 28, but he had 25 carries, 161 yards, and two touchdowns against the Cleveland Browns, the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, I'm going to give some love to Trevor Lawrence and Duval. They've won a bunch of games in a row. He was maybe one of his best games. There it is. One of his best games as a pro. He was 17 to 30, so that's not lights out. But 244, two touchdowns, threw the ball down the field. They don't have all of the weapons that he thought he would have offensively, but they got enough of them. And he played really well. And they're going to win that division because of the way that the schedule is going to break and the fact that they have a game lead. Player who disappointed, Bick?
I mean, it has to be Jalen Hurts. Four interceptions on Monday Night Football. That game was very winnable for them on the road against a Chargers team that's, you know, a playoff team. Just not good enough from Jalen Hurts last night.
I mean, Joe Burrow, you're up 10 in the fourth quarter in Buffalo. You throw back-to-back interceptions.
Yeah.
That was disappointing. I think that the teams, they're obviously dead. His window might be closed. You know, he talked at the beginning of his career, like, my window is my career. Like, life comes at you fast.
Yeah, the injury stack for him. I'm going to go Baker Mayfield here because, of course, we have a lot going into this this Panthers situation. The Bucs have lost 4 out of 5. They lost at home to New Orleans in a game where Baker went 14 of 30 for 122, a touchdown, and a pick. And this is kind of who he is now. Now, he got hurt. Same similar injuries, kind of same thing that happened in Cleveland. But that's on him, too. Like, shut it down, dude. Like, or have the team shut it down one way or the other, but like, you're not effective. And he hasn't been effective for really quite a while. And for all of the MVP talk at the beginning of the year, he has reverted kind of back. And some of this happened post-injury, some of it was pre-injury, but it's not right. And now I'm going to be paying NBC a bunch of money because I think the Carolina Panthers are going to win that division. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week. Who do you got, Bake?
I've got D'Amico Ryans. To beat Kansas City and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, that team started 2-4, and they looked dead in the water. They lost their quarterback. They're 8-5 now in a wild card spot, one game back of Jacksonville for the division, and I think they're going to get Jacksonville and win that division. What he is doing with that defense and that team, very, very impressive.
Packers coach Matt LaFleur got to stick it to Ben Johnson, who I think at his introductory press conference said he liked beating Matt LaFleur and the Packers twice a year with the Detroit Lions. It's like, all right, got to do it on the field, bud.
Careful what you wish
LaFleur for. LaFleur is good. That team is really good in Green Bay.
They are, yeah, and they're getting healthy. I'm going to go Dan Campbell here because you could have absolutely punted coming off of the Thanksgiving loss at home to the Packers where you had all of it into it. Dallas coming in red hot. This was all the way back on last Thursday night. Most watched Thursday night game on Prime ever. Over almost 19 million people watched it. They bombed Dallas. Like, whatever you think, and I don't know if they will even get into the postseason. Their schedule the rest of the way is really, really brutal. But in terms of buy-in and give a damn, all you needed to know is Amon-Ra St. Brown was not supposed to play in that game, and he did. And he did because they have culture and belief and all of it, and that part needs to be commended, certainly. Top three teams, who do you got, Bake?
I've got New England, I've got Seattle, and I've got Bo Bishop's Los Angeles Rams.
God bless you.
I feel like I should have the Denver Broncos somewhere, but I've got Rams, Seahawks, Packers.
Yeah, I like it. I kept the Pats off just because they were off, so I didn't put them in anywhere in my top three or with my Super Bowl right now. But the other two, I have Rams and Seahawks, and I go Denver. They just don't lose. It's crazy. By the way, Pete Carroll, 7.5 number, down 10. He kicks a field goal. His time expired to make it 7.
So is that worth an investigation? Yes. Like, how do you trigger that?
Yes. 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 It is. Super Bowl right now. Who do you got, Reese?
I got Patriots and Rams.
I've got Patriots and 49ers.
I still have the Rams. I'm going to go Rams Broncos. Like I said, I left Pats off this week just because they had a bye. But Rams Broncos. I think if it was real truth, I'd go Rams Patriots at this point. We got to get used to new faces in the AFC. Boy, who could have saw this coming down in Cincinnati with Trey Hendrickson? We'll explain coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Things are going to be busy, but
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Berm are back with a new daily podcast, the Ultimate OSU Football Insiders.
You know, it's refreshing to have some smart people working here from time to time.
The Beat with Austin and Berm on the 10 TV Plus app.
Subscribe today.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies are expected here for today, but it will be a warmer day with highs into the upper 30s this afternoon. Also fairly breezy, southerly winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then as we head into tomorrow, we're tracking even windier conditions as we see our next weather system building through. That's going to bring us some rain and snow showers and highs into the 40s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. A get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Siena Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every single time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. And at Siena Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Micro Brewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna, and the energy just keeps building, friends. Siena Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026. Features 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in all of harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come, experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at Eldorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. Visit Caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details. Well, nobody could have saw this coming, right? Bengals star defensive end Trey Hendrickson has had a visit with Dr. William Myers in Philadelphia yesterday, and he is shut down for the season. His recovery time is upwards of 6 weeks, and he is done. Oh, you don't say. Oh, you don't say. This is what happens, and this isn't to suggest that there's anything more to this other than the obvious. When you treat people a certain way, this is what you get. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that Trey Hendrickson was somebody who, what if he was able to play, do I think that he would? Yes. But if it is something that is on the question one way or the other, he's always going to lean out. Because why? Because they didn't take care of him. He was a one-year player for them. And we said, if you don't take care of him, if there is opportunity for him to punt on where this season is, he will do so. And now they will pay him to rehabilitate, to have surgery and rehabilitate. And next year he'll be playing somewhere else for nothing. What they should have done, and we talked, you had two real choices here. They chose option three. They had two real choices. Either sign him to an extension and lock him in for a run here, which of course would have been costly as they kept all the offensive players, or trade him and get assets. Either one of those things would have made more sense than what they did, which is essentially have a one-year rental that is not motivated to go out there and give you all his best, because you know why? You didn't do the same for him. He made it abundantly clear, and they chose option three, and that's the spot that they're in now. And so it's a mess, and now he's going to walk. There's probably some sort of NFL compensation in terms of if he leaves for a free agent based on the amount of money he gets and so forth and so on. Maybe they did a compensatory pick, third, fourth round, something like that. But that is not what you could have got had you just traded him and what they could have gotten in return. Because there was no way, because of how acrimonious this had been, there was no way he was ever going to continue to be a long-term player for the Cincinnati Bengals. Just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, the pie just didn't work out. Or the allocation of the slices in Cincinnati's pie didn't work out this season, and it probably won't work out in the future for this. I don't know what, if any, they have option-wise for him. I mean, that you asked that question. I know T's signed, you know, I think for Cincinnati, you try just roll it back next year. Hope there's no injuries, and then you, I mean, they haven't swung or they haven't hit on a defensive pick in the draft. I guess you keep trying. Mm-hmm. It's bleak. It is. That's what I was saying about Burrow's window, his comment. And I said it when he made the thing. It's like, man, the NFL can turn on you so quickly. Like, you can be at the top of the mountain, or you could be trying to summit the mountaintop in the NFL and then never see base camp in a quick fashion.
Yeah.
I just can't help but go back to two off seasons ago when they could have signed all of these guys for about $10 million. Dollars a year cheaper each, but they didn't. They waited.
Yes.
And now they're in this position. And one of the best things, and we talked about this with the Patriots earlier in their run through the 2000s, one of the things good front offices do is they manage assets well. Mm-hmm. And this is an asset that the Bengals could have gotten something for. And they're going to let walk out the building for nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible, terrible front office. It's a terrible way to do things in a front office.
Yeah, and it's an ownership thing too, right? Because, and this is just the real truth. If Joe Burrow in this situation was in Cleveland, they would have got ahead of all of it. And you can be critical of Cleveland for decisions that are made here or there, the Watson, all of it, all of that you can be critical of. But if they were in this situation, they would have done Burrow right away. They would have done Chase right away. They would have done Higgins right away. Jesse Bates never would have left. He never would have left. They would have signed up Jesse Bates. They would have locked up Trey Hendrickson. They would have done front-loaded contracts with big signing bonuses to keep the cap malleable. The Bengals are not willing to do that. You know who else does that? The Philadelphia Eagles do that. Now, the Eagles just won a Super Bowl. The Browns trying to get there and obviously are a ways off as they stand. But in terms of approach, if you don't have ownership that's willing to get out ahead of this stuff and you wait too long, they are going to waste Joe Burrow's career. And I had said I worried that there were too many parallels between him and Dan Marino. Dan Marino got to the Super Bowl in year two. He won the MVP and got to the Super Bowl in year two. Sound familiar? From that point on, the Dolphins were largely competitive. I mean, mostly winning franchises. They have a couple of seasons where they were under 500, but for the most part, they hobbled around. They had a couple of 12-4s, an 11-5 in there, a 10-6. But mostly they were a middling operation. 8-8, 9-7, 7-6, 10-6. That's kind of what they were for the rest of his career. And he had one of the greatest careers of all time individually, but you don't ever hear anybody talk about Dan Marino as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time because he didn't win the Super Bowl and they didn't take full advantage of the talent that he was. And I do worry about that for Burrow. He's getting old quick in this thing. And his tone post-game after the loss to the Bills, I thought was a little different than what we're used to hearing from him. He was asked about where the franchise is and these last stretch games. Here was what Burrow had to say about it.
Yeah, obviously we're not where we want to be as, you know, a team or an organization. 4-9 is not good, but you know, we got four games to go and show high-level execution, high-level play, playmaking. I'm going to relish the opportunity to go out and play with these guys and continue to try to put on a show for everybody watching. I hope that that comes across, and I hope that I know I'm going to continue to work hard to put myself in a good position to make plays.
Joe actually turns 29 tomorrow, so happy early birthday to Mr. Burrow, who's when he's healthy, he's certainly in that highest echelon of NFL quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. What he's accomplished already is stupefying. Do you think, as we stand here in December of 2025, that he plays his entire career in Cincinnati?
I do. And that's not a good thing. Like, the more that I think about it. But I think they make him the priority whenever contract discussions come around. And I think they find, and you obviously see value in having that face of the franchise, face of the city that brings people into your stadium. And so I think that's paramount above anything for Bengals ownership.
Yeah, for sure.
And he'll always be the marquee on games for nationally televised opportunities. Although I did see they got a game flexed out. I want to say week 16 was supposed to be Cincinnati and Miami, and that's 1 o'clock on CBS. They move Patriots Ravens to Sunday Night Football.
Makes sense.
I would guess that at the end of his career he will play somewhere else. And I don't know if he obviously won't be the Joe Burrow we know now then, but I do think at the end of the career the Bengals will let him move on to somewhere else.
Yeah, I wonder, obviously they would want to keep him forever. I just wonder if he will get to, now, I mean, they signed his guys. They're doing what he said. He said, sign Higgins, sign Chase. They just waited too long on both of them.
How toxic would it have to be for that scenario to happen, Baker? Because I can't imagine, like, if they're both still friendly with each other. But you talk about toxic situations in Bengals quarterbacks. There's precedent.
The way it gets toxic in a hurry is you keep losing.
Yeah,
I mean, they basically wasted an MVP season for him. He would have won the MVP of the league last year if they played any defense at all. He would have won the MVP. It was his year last year was off the charts. 49-18, 43 touchdowns, 9 picks. If they make the postseason, he was fourth in the MVP, and they were 9-8. If they make the postseason, he wins the MVP last year.
And where they are right now in the draft order, they're not getting Arvell Reese or Caleb Downs. They're 10th.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to get that defense competitive in a hurry, or the frustration for him is only going to continue to grow. And some of it's hamstrung. When the NFL, I got to get to Jody, but real quickly, when the NFL put in that rule that you could take on private equity money to get an influx of cash, I assumed that it was basically written for the Cincinnati Bengals. And they haven't done it yet. Like, the Raiders have done it. Some others have done it. Some other cash-strapped franchises. Like, it's sitting there waiting for you.
They don't
take the money.
They don't want someone else eating their pie.
Can't seed control any bit.
No, and they love the pie. They love. We always assume it's a meat pie, right?
We love pie, though. Like, this is a pro pie program.
Definitely. Nothing better. But I think that anytime we have pie with Mike Brown, I always assume it's a meat pie, some sort of a turtle suit pie. We'll do a little Shelly time in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Gloves. Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards.
Experience collecting in a whole new way.
All right, Jackets at Carolina tonight. Mr. Shelly, where exactly do we find you, my friend?
I'm just leaving Canada. I'm in Toronto right now.
Okay.
Did the Amazon game last night, Toronto-Tampa. And now I'm heading to Nashville for the game tonight. Nashville versus Colorado. So that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And are the flights looking on time? Everything looks like it's smooth?
Oh, yeah. Everything's good. Yeah, the early morning flight got delayed out of here, so I just bumped it to the direct Toronto-Nashville, which I didn't even look at before. So this has actually worked out well this morning.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Last we talked, we were heading into this road trip, and I know you're going to board a flight, so we'll make
no,
this
a brief. We're good.
Well, okay. All right. You tell me when. Say when, brother. And
I will tell you when.
All right. I appreciate that. We can't be holding up air traffic for boarding of flights, my friend. But the last we talked, we were coming out of that stretch where you went to New Jersey and kind of showed what you were all about. And then you get the Red Wings at home and you get the win and you go, okay, maybe we're on to something. And then you go down to Florida and have one of the just craziest games ever that ends in a loss, 7-6. Then you lose to the Caps, and now you're trying to end this road trip on a positive way against a really good team in Carolina. Disappointment in that the momentum from Devils Wings back-to-back wasn't continued over the weekend. Where does that register for you?
Yeah, I think there was a lot to like about their game in Florida, but there's also a part of that game that, you know, they gave away, and you don't want to give teams anything, right? Good teams, like the way they played in New Jersey, they stayed really in the parameters of what's expected of them. They got the saves when they needed them and then got the win, you know, through battling back and playing with character and all those things you want to see, all those identity triggers you see within the Blue Jackets team. And then, you know, that game, you're going to have games like you had in Florida where, you know, things don't go exactly as planned. It gets a little bit out of hand. You think you have control. You're going to have a game like that. But then you go to Washington on the back-to-back. That was a well-played game. Mm-hmm. You know, the Blue Jackets played really well. And I know we're all about the results, and that's the way this business should be. Winning is what matters. But there is still a third of the way through the season here. You know, I talked to a lot of teams and a lot of coaches. There still is not a comfort, but a reassurance when you look at game tape and watch teams and see teams and be like, okay, we're playing our game. And sometimes it's a bounce, a save, a play. We all want games to be broken open by the power play. We all want to see those moments taken advantage of, but the other team is game planning too. So my long story short is you look at the Devils, the Red Wings, and then even that loss in Washington, There's a lot that they're a confident group. They know exactly what is expected of each of them to a man, and they want more. So, and there's a lot of teams there's probably seven teams in the league you measure yourself against, and tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes, that's one of those teams. This has to be a win. This has to be a well-played game, and this has to be a win. And I think that's the mindset. That's what you're looking at going to this one. When you look at the past four or five games, you know, take it into Carolina tonight and have that team effort, but get the win. Play the music after the game. Come home after for a nice little week homestand here at Nationwide Arena.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You brought up something there that piqued my interest. I just pulled up like the East standings, and I knew it was jumbled. But just for the audience's perspective here, Buffalo's got 26 points, and they're in the total cellar. But they're the only team with more losses than wins in the entire East. Everybody else is positive. And the difference between the worst team in the East, Ottawa, and the best team in the East, Washington, is 9 points.
Yeah,
we're 30 right. games into this. Have you ever mm-hmm. seen this type of congestion in a conference? Because it's not that way in the West at all. It's an Eastern issue. Not, it's not a West issue, which is good. I mean, it's competitive every night. Every game really matters. And then what do you attribute it to?
I've never seen it. And I think it's there's an indication from all these teams that have been in kind of a rebuild, a retool. I think that a lot of teams were in that race last year that, you know, Montreal got in. It was Columbus, Detroit, Ottawa. All those teams were kind of being run over for a while. Buffalo is even better. They're all getting their points. You know, it's all very close games. There's, if you look at games, they're all played the same way. You're seeing a lot of low scoring, low event games. And I think it's just the urgency and understanding entering a season after last year, that crawl in the East to get in. No one grabbed it. So I think it's the parity of the teams. You know, there's only so many great goaltenders. There's only so many number one defensemen. And there's only so many number one and number two centermen. And I think when you look at all that, there's young players that make mistakes. There's teams that are slow but stay within themselves. Like, everyone knows kind of how they have to play to win. And it's the parity. And I think the urgency of last year, how it ended, and teams looking and saying, like New York, 6 points out, you know, mm-hmm. the Islanders thought they were, you know, could have been, they realized when they looked at it, could have been, were closer than they thought. You look at 8 points, that's 4 wins, right? So I think that's really attributed to a part of this start of the season for everyone and realizing the race starts in game one, and every game's a battle. There's no handouts in the National Hockey League anymore. There's no going to San Jose and putting up eight. There's not that, those days are gone. This is mm-hmm. this is a league that you know is really equal.
This is going to make, and of course we've got an Olympic. Are the Olympics going to happen? Are they going to get that building built, Joe?
What they're going to do is probably shrink the neutral zone like they did in a lot. You know, you're not going to take it out of the end zone. You're not going to put the blue line closer to the net. So I think it's 3.5 feet short. Which
wow.
You know, I saw Coach Cooper yesterday, who is the coach of Team Canada. You know, he put his arm out and said, you know, is it from me to you away? You know, it's not that much. But, I mean, it is definitely the hot topic right now that the ice is going to be ready days before the women start on that ice. And what's the quality of the ice? So there's still a lot of factors here. And if the players don't feel safe on the ice, they're not gonna play. The owners don't want to lose players to injury, you know, because of some formality like that or anything. So there's a lot of balls in the air, but it sounds like as of right now, yes, it's the Olympics will happen.
It's crazy like how close they're cutting it. And then the other part of that I'm with that Olympic break in there, all of, because I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm sure you'd probably agree, you're not going to get separation in the East in the next month and a half. I think it's going to look very similar. Everybody's just going to kind of beat up on each other. It's going to lead to one of the most crazy second halves we've ever seen. The trade deadline is going to be nuts. There's going to be so many teams that they're in it. And then this Olympic break. We've never seen anything like what's coming in the second half.
It's going to be wacky and wild out of that break. Because, you know, when you have segments like that in the season, you're really pushed to, you know, and then some players are playing phenomenal to make their respective team, country's team. So you're seeing mm-hmm. a lot of that as well. It's going to be crazy. There's so many injuries happening. You look at Tampa, they won 7 in a row, and then they've just lost 4 in a row. Right. It's, you know, when you get good, teams measure and then you get their best, their absolute best, their absolute, everything is done with a major purpose. That urgency, and that's when you can knock teams off. So this one tonight, I expect the Blue Jackets to have that type of game tonight where they, because Carolina, they play hard and fast, and they make no one feel good about themselves because there's no time and space. So going into that game, you understand, okay, like I got to be extra sharp, extra quick, extra urgent tonight. But to your point, yeah, this is a really, really interesting, fun season.
Yeah, it is. I'll get you out of here on this one, and I know you're still in Toronto at the moment, but what, if any, changes? What do you expect tonight, lines-wise, pairing-wise? I'm asking you to guess because obviously none of
it's happening. No, I don't think much. I think Dean Evason, they're just getting on the ice there about 11 minutes ago. I haven't looked at an update from the insider, Jess Loboda, who would have it, but mm-hmm. I would expect Jet to be back in net. I would expect, I don't think there's going to be many changes. It's going to be a quick, hard play game tonight. You know, there are a couple options to go in, but I think everything's going to be as it was. But I'm not the coach, and I'm in the airport. So that's all I got for you.
Nice. Did you do the keg last night?
No, I had no time. I flew in yesterday morning and today. Right to it. I did have a beautiful breakfast this morning. But now I have no overhead space in the bin. But it's all good. I'm going to gate check my bag. And I'm just about to waltz onto this flight. So
safe flight, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Bo. Good talking to you, man. Have a good day.
All right, there you go. A little bit of Shelly time as he boards a plane in Toronto for Nashville tonight. What a life, man. Unbelievable. We'll get you three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one. Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Through trusted.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Buckeyes are back at the shot for a Big Ten matchup with Illinois.
And Lou Henson's hairpiece.
Live fan coverage starts Tuesday night at 6:30.
Every game, every season, proud to be your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
I'm Leslie from
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what end of the poll today?
The Daily Fan poll asks, who will win the Heisman Trophy? Your options are the four finalists. Fernando Mendoza, Diego Pavia, Jeremiah Love, Julian Sain. 70% say it'll be Indiana's quarterback. 16% say Sain. 8% Diego Pavia. And a little over 5% Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, I saw, I want to say it was Stuart Mandel did like a Heisman straw poll among voters. And it kind of hit the results of that kind of seemed like really close between Pavia and Mendoza. I tend to think most of the audience has probably got the right read, but I do think that it was alarming. Not alarming. There's nothing to worry about. But just from the standpoint of, it was noteworthy where the four finalists came from, and that there wasn't a second Southern representative, and even Jacob Rodriguez would have been a Southern representative of some sort. But three in the North, just Pavia in the South. That tells you that feels like there's probably a Southern block that all went Pavia on this thing. So we'll see where it all shakes out. Saturday night, right?
Next Saturday night.
Oh, it's a week?
13th. Oh, no, that's a Saturday
night.
Yeah,
that's a Saturday. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because you got Army, Navy, and then you've got that. By the way, did you guys see that game day is not going to Army, Navy this year?
What?
Yeah, they always do Army, Navy. They picked it last week.
Why are they not?
I'm guessing budgetary. You know, the game's not on their air, and it probably costs a lot of money to go there and do it. But it stinks. That's always one of my favorite ones. I love that game. I love everything it represents, and I love the buildup that goes to it, but the game's on CBS, I think.
I'm sure the worldwide leader's really hurting.
Well, they have corporate bosses too, and there's corporate takeovers that are happening. Paramount's trying to do a hostile takeover with Warner, who's already has a deal with Netflix. You got a lot going on, a lot of balls in the air, Bake. Time for three things on a Tuesday. Hit it.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
All right, number one for me. This just sucks. It just sucks that Ohio State basketball is playing tonight. They're doing so against Illinois. They're doing so at 7:30, so it's a game that all of us can watch. But the game is only on Peacock. And of course, you can listen to it here on The Fan, and that's as good as you're going to get in terms of that type of audio. But it just sucks to me that college basketball was used as a sacrificial lamb in all of this, and that's where the pound of flesh is coming from. To me, the right thing to do on a situation like this, if this game is on Peacock only, in the local market here in Central Ohio, it should be on one of the local channels so that anybody who wants to watch it can.
Throw it on NBC.
Fine. Put it on Channel 4. Fine. But you should be able to watch this game here locally without having to pay for it. And pay for viewing in college athletics and college basketball especially is going to... it's an erosion of the popularity that's happening. It is. And it's something you have to combat. And it just sucks that if you're here locally, you can't just watch this game for free.
I had a chuckle at an email I received from the Blue Jackets this morning. So CBJ are back on home ice Wednesday against the Ottawa Senators. Before that game, Blue Jackets forward Matthew Olivier is going to speak with high school hockey players. Now, I know why you chuckled there, but just the idea of Olivier talking to him, be like, if anybody crosses you on the ice, drop the gloves, boys.
Take them out. Bo, I think tonight sucks for another reason, too. The Ohio State basketball team taking on Illinois. Big game for them. 7:30 tip. At the same time, the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be taking the ice down in Carolina. And you can now watch tonight's game on FanDuel Sports Network, if that's what you usually do, because this is an ESPN Plus and Hulu exclusive. But I hate when they're both on at the same time. I feel like somewhere along the way we need to schedule that where these two teams are playing on opposite nights, because I don't like split screening.
Yeah,
I like putting my focus on one, and I really like to watch both of these games tonight, so I think that sucks a lot.
Yeah, it does. The timing, they got to do better for you, Bake. There's no question. Number two for me, all of the dialogue yesterday, and you're going to have a press conference in South Bend from Pete Bavakwa at some point today about Notre Dame and how they were wronged and all of these things. And maybe they were. I think probably they deserve to be in it more than Alabama. But as I said yesterday, they were never going to keep Alabama and the SEC out. It would only undermine the SEC title game. Sankey wants to play that game. They had a choice. You're going to upset one or the other. They chose to upset one school versus an entire conference. And it was probably the smart choice from that perspective. But this notion that Notre Dame can do whatever it want with no cost is also not true either. The reality is that if they were full-fledged member, if any of the Power Four, that they would all take Notre Dame. But the Big Ten and the SEC don't need Notre Dame. It makes sense for them to be in the Big Ten, certainly, but they don't need them. The Big Ten is fine as it is. The ACC probably does need them, but to be honest, Notre Dame needs them just as much. I don't know how they think they're going to schedule all their non-revenue sports if they are not in a league. I don't know how you're going to have a football schedule if the ACC says we're not going to play you and the Big Ten says you're not going to play you. And I saw Brady Quinn, who I love, say, man, we could do Power Six and go undefeated. Okay, you're going to fill your stadium with that? Is NBC going to pay you for that if you're playing Group of Six teams and the service academies and nobody else will play you? That's always been my argument. If you want to end the conversation with Notre Dame and their independence and force them into a conference, simply stop playing them. And it's done.
I'm really interested to see in about a month and a half, when they expand the college football playoff, if they go to 14 or 16, because that definitely changes a memorandum of understanding that guarantees Notre Dame a playoff spot if they finish inside the top 12 in terms of the voting for next season. Your Joe Moore Award finalists are out. That's given to the nation's top offensive line in the country. Iowa, Oregon, and Indiana. All Big Ten offensive lines.
Yeah.
Just another example of Indiana's a legit team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are, and we saw that on Saturday night. Jody obviously was in Canada, so he was not with the team in Carolina. He mentioned Jeff Sobota. He has said that it looks like no line changes for the Blue Jackets today, so that means nobody new in the lineup. No Boone Jenner. He's not returning yet, and have not heard yet, but I would think Jet is in goal tonight.
All right, there you go on that. No time for three today. We will hopefully do better tomorrow on a first Friday. Rothman and Ice coming up next. We are back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Things are going to be...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call